Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Good brothers and sisters, Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson, in for Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're 30 minutes away from why some of you keep bringing this up when it comes to Russell Westbrook. And to be honest with you, Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman are tired and sick of it. That comes your way in about 30 minutes here on Janae and Golic Jr. Amber Wilson, good to see you, my friend. How's everything on this Wednesday?
Everything is great on this Wednesday. Good to see you as well, Freddie.
Absolutely. We had a chance to see Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, part of Hard Knocks. We're going to get into that. And we were talking about this before the show got started today about the injury to Dak Prescott and the shoulder injury. Troy Aikman during Hall of Fame weekend, Amber, told me all I needed to know. And he said, and I quote, "The Cowboys are downplaying it, but I think when your franchise quarterback is missing the amount of time he's missing, I tend to think it's probably a little bit more significant than what they have let on," end quote. Amber, that tells me all I need to know, because if anybody's dialed in more that's not having Jones as their last name, it's going to be Troy Aikman, that Hall of Fame quarterback. He would not just spitball that out there without any kind of intel. Whatever level of concern people have, Troy Aikman gave me all the level of concern I needed to hear when he said over Hall of Fame weekend.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty good source on Dak Prescott information, right? He certainly knows a lot more than I do. When I first heard these reports about the strained right lat, I thought, Okay, I mean, ho-hum, right? Kind of, it just sounds like a muscle strain. We've all pulled a muscle before, Freddie. But then when I heard the reports come out that they were bringing in pitching coach specialists and trainers from baseball, and they were seeking advice from that sport, it led me to believe that this must be some sort of repetition injury that they're concerned might develop into some real problem here, a chronic injury. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem like a simple muscle strain, right? Am I reading into that too much? Because the initial reaction for me was ho-hum. And then when I heard that news, I was like, huh? You know, the eyebrows went up. Is there more to this? If you're a Cowboys fan, you are a Cowboys fan, Freddie. Are you concerned about this latest Dak Prescott injury?
Before I answer that, I'm going to let Keyshawn Johnson from KJZ in the morning on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. I'm going to let Keyshawn Johnson say something I'm going to react to about Dak Prescott, this shoulder injury, and all the having to do with money.
If they lose a couple games in a row, the first thing people start saying is, here are the Cowboys.
Here they go.
Here they go again. And if you allow that to sink in and you start worrying about those things, now you start to press. And you're not coaching or playing up to your expectations. If you can somehow alleviate that, the outside noise, and just focus in on what you need to do, then you can be a really, really good team.
Because the Dallas Cowboys do not do well, Amber, with outside noise. And this is what this supported with Dak Prescott. And outside noise. That's why the Dallas Cowboys are trying to downplay this, because anything that's on the outside of this football team, they overreact. It's not a media thing. It's not a fan thing like me, Amber. The Cowboys overreact. You know why? When you have not won a chip since 1996, and you got a desperate owner in Jerry Jones that does not want anybody raining on his potential sunshine, especially all the sunshine you gave Dak Prescott when it comes to money, anything that's going to potentially get in the way of that, they're going to downplay as much as possible. And when people do that, that's when Freddie Coleman gets concerned. That's when a Cowboys fan gets concerned. And then when Troy Aikman puts it out there saying, Freddie Coleman, you should be concerned. That's why my concern level went from like a 0-1 to about a 4 or a 5, because desperate teams, desperate organizations do this. When you give that kind of money to a guy that you believe in, he knows you believe in him, and something like this has already happened before any kind of action has happened for Dak Prescott, especially in the preseason, especially in practice.
Well, you heard him say press there, and they've got 160 million reasons not to press things, at least in terms of pushing a return for Dak that he's not ready for. I mean, they have every reason to be cautious with this quarterback. Fine. But they also, by the way, Freddie, have every reason to downplay the injury concerns. So they have reasons to do both things. I don't know which one they're actually doing here. Are they being cautious? I mean, we did see him. He did throw, what, I think 30 passes to Amari Cooper, who, by the way, also, of course, coming off of an ankle injury as well. So another concern for the Cowboys here. But the success of the Dallas Cowboys rides on the health of Dak Prescott. We saw it last season. I mean, without Dak, they're, you know, maybe a 6-10 team kind of thing like they did last season. What's that look like this season if Dak again isn't healthy, or if these injury concerns become an actual repeated problem where it's not just the ankle anymore, because that ankle injury doesn't really concern me. And obviously it doesn't concern the Cowboys if they're willing to hand him $160 million in March. Mm-hmm. He can come back from that ankle injury. He had, what, a dislocated ankle and a broken ankle, and he comes back, he gets the surgery. It's something that at his age he can easily fully recover from. I mean, Freddie, you and I, this is our first time working together. Mm-hmm. I had boo-boo ankle back in January. That's what I like to call it. So me and boo-boo Dak ankle. Were very similar.
Okay.
Now, I got my boo-boo ankle, which is when I tore like four ligaments in my ankle. I got boo-boo Ouch. Ankle walking into my gym. Okay. Dak Prescott got boo-boo ankle, you know, playing football. So, all right, fine. A little less embarrassing for him, perhaps. Nevertheless, I have fully recovered from boo-boo ankle, and I ain't the athlete that Dak Prescott is. So the ankle doesn't bother me. I know he can recover from that. This lat injury, though, is actually a little concerning now to me. And just the injuries generally, they're starting to pile up. And that Cowboys team needs him to be healthy.
She's Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman, and Tanae Golick Jr. giving you that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Hit us on Twitter at Coleman ESPN and at Amber W790. With all that being said, the Dallas Cowboys, they're always going to be good for the NFL business, mainly because they're the Dallas Cowboys. You either really love them or you really hate them. It's no coincidence, Amber, that Hard Knocks put the Dallas Cowboys for this year, especially after what happened last year with the pandemic. Although the NFL is not losing money, they continue to print money. But it's always good for the NFL business when the Dallas Cowboys are a topic of conversation. And if you're HBO, with Hard Knocks kind of slipping a little bit, people not as excited before Hard Knocks got started, that was the reason why they wanted the Cowboys front and center and Hard Knocks happening last night. And I had a chance to watch it. And the one thing I took away from it, number one, I knew where this was going to happen, that Jerry Jones was going to get on my last nerve. Because he is determined. Not even 5 minutes in, Amber, I said to myself, oh, my God, this has become the Jerry Jones and everybody else reality show. You got Dak Prescott here. You got Ezekiel Elliott over there. You got Micah Parsons, who's going to be a terrific player for the Dallas Cowboys. But, oh, Jerry, Amber, yeah, you know, I'm the Cowboys owner, and I'm going to make sure this is about me. He made it all about him.
Even Freddie Coleman doing a good Jerry Jones.
Even talking with Stephen Jones, even to something like, Dad, really? This is your team. But when you're Jerry Jones and you know you are that star and you're going to make sure everybody knows it, it was not one ounce of a coincidence, Amber, that the Cowboys are going to be Hard Knocks after the pandemic or even during the pandemic to try to get that franchise up and rolling again when it comes to HBO.
It's America's team, right? I mean, I hate that whole thing about it being America's team, but let's be honest, it is. I mean, they move the needle. So you're right. I think it's calculated. I think the problem is that, you know, Hard Knocks and novelty maybe has worn off a bit, but the Cowboys, you hope they bring that back. Also, we live through a pandemic, everything else that you just mentioned there. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred to see the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it would have been interesting to see Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. That would have interested me more, frankly, than this Cowboys team. But I know it's the Cowboys. So they move the needle. That's what you're doing it for. You're doing it for ratings.
Are you a Jaguars fan, real quick, Amber, while I'm putting that out there?
No. I'm a Dolphins fan. I just think from a Hard Knocks perspective that this season on the Jaguars, that would be something that I would tune in for.
I think what Hard Knocks has really figured out, or at least they wanted to figure out, that people are going to be vested in teams if it's their team part of Hard Knocks. And maybe the casual fan, the average Joe and Josephine, may not tune in. But everybody knows the Cowboys. Everybody knows the Steelers. And to your point, everybody knows about Trevor Lawrence. They know about Urban Meyer. There's another guy there called Tim Tebow that would have been a great part of Hard Knocks. There are names that you know that have made Hard Knocks worth it. And then other names that you did not know, you did not mind watching from that standpoint. But Hard Knocks even knew, even Jerry Jones, as bad as he can be, as a great owner he's been for the Dallas Cowboys, is going to be must-watch TV. Dak Prescott over here, okay. Ezekiel Elliott over there, okay. What is Jerry Jones going to say? What crazy thing is he going to say that's going to really have people talking about it the next day? That's why it was not one ounce of coincidence that to get that franchise back up and rolling, they had the Dallas Cowboys front and center. Green Bay would have been great for Hard Knocks with Aaron Rodgers coming back.
With that drama, you're right. That would have been good for Hard Knocks.
That would have been like Siesta Key to the 25th Power if they had that with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. That would have been a reality
show. Freddie Coleman with the MTV Siesta Key reference.
But seriously, though, can you imagine Hard Knocks and going behind the scenes and letting him have that access with Aaron Rodgers and all that back and forth? That would have been fantastic. But the Cowboys, they sell whether people like it or not. Injury to Dak, it's all about Jerry Jones. It's all about Dak Prescott and Dallas Cowboys. Part of Hard Knocks. And that's for our Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us here on Chenea Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Maybe it was good for Carson Wentz to think, oh, no, not again with his new team, the Indianapolis Colts. We'll explain what we mean by that next.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Amber Wilson and Freddie Coleman on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Coming up in 30 minutes, you're going to find out Kirk Cousins can't be around people if the Minnesota Vikings are going to try to do anything this season in the NFL. That comes your way in about 30 minutes. And also, when it comes to the National Football League, Amber, you put this out there before the show got started today about Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts having an oh-no moment because Sam Ehlinger playing well with the first-teamers, Jacob Eason there, and we didn't think we were going to see Carson Wentz until maybe next week. He was back at camp this week along with Quinn Nelson, and you said he had an oh-no moment for those who weren't, of course, part of the show before everything got started. What did you mean by that?
Well, the thing is with Carson Wentz is if you've been through everything that he's been through to this point, and you're sitting there on the sideline and you're watching these other guys practice with that first team, you are going to be incredibly motivated to get back out there. It's not that I think the organization is going to roll him out too early. I don't think this is going to be a cult thing. I think this is going to be a Carson Wentz thing because, Freddie, what happened to that 12 weeks that we were talking about? That 12 weeks went away right quick when Eason got out there and starts practicing under center. And when Ehlinger gets out there and starts practicing under center, all of a sudden you see, oh no, this is my opportunity to lose my job yet again and find myself in a bad situation yet again. I can't let those guys have my time. So you're going to find yourself very motivated to get out there, even coming off of a foot injury that reportedly was going to keep him out originally for 12 weeks, and that Nelson has the exact same foot injury on the exact same timeline. I think we're going to see Carson Wentz out there a little faster, though, because of that self-motivation.
If you're Carson Wentz, you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Now, if Nick Foles had come walking through that door, I think Carson Wentz would have been in a fetal position if that had happened. That's the last person he wanted to see is Nick Foles potentially taking away another job from him. And I don't want to say that Carson Wentz is skittish or sensitive, but I don't blame him because when you're with a new football team, they all heard what happened last year at the end of the Philadelphia Eagles. They clearly understand, you know what, you didn't handle things well when the Philadelphia Eagles wanted to go with Jalen Hurts and you got all moose face. I like to say when people don't have things go the way they get like that moose face. That's what he had at the end of Philadelphia. He doesn't want another moose face situation with this new football team. And I know if I'm a teammate in Indianapolis, I'm waiting to see exactly how he's going to handle that. And if you're Carson Wentz, as far as I'm concerned, Amber, he handled that the right way. Hey, guys, I know I'm injured, but I'm not just going to be on the outside. I'm not pulling a Kawhi Leonard where I'm up in the luxury box having snacks with the kids and I'm not on the field with my football team while I'm being injured. No, he's not going to do that. If anything, not just for his psyche, but Amber, for the team's psyche to do something like that and say, hey, I'm injured, but I'm going to be back sooner than later. To me, that message was a very strong message from Carson Wentz with a new football team and that baggage that he does not want to have him following him from Philadelphia to Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's like, hey, guys, I'm still here. I'm still here. Don't forget about me. I'm still here. You know, every 10 minutes, I'm still here, guy. I'm still here. I'm over here. I'm over here, guys. I know I had surgery on August 2nd, but I'm still here, guys.
Text me,
these
maybe.
These first 5 weeks of Indy's schedule are super rough.
Yeah.
So that's another motivating factor for Wentz. If he wants to be the guy and he wants to prove that he can be the guy and that he can have that resurgence of his career, this is the time to do it in the beginning of the season for the Colts. They have the Seahawks and Rams, and then they hit the road to face the Titans, the Dolphins, and the Ravens. Oof. You want to have your quarterback position solidified. It's not an easy time. It's not an easy schedule either to work him back in during. So that's problematic for this team. I think Carson Wentz will have the self-motivation. I think the Colts obviously would love to have him back healthy sooner rather than later because of that schedule as well.
Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman, in for Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. It also didn't help Carson Wentz, Amber, and everybody out there that Sam Ehlinger, sixth-round draft pick out of Texas, was getting first-team reps. All of a sudden, he was a new flavor of ice cream that everybody was liking in practice for the Indianapolis Colts. And even he talked about his performance getting some run and some burn with the first-teamers.
I try to approach every single day, regardless of what reps I get, the same, and that's trying to take up as much information as possible and continue to improve. So it wasn't like a oh-my or like wide-eye moment for me.
I tell you what, Amber, if I'm Carson Wentz, the one thing that people found out about him that he didn't like was that he did not handle competition well. I'm not talking about the Super Bowl where they won and Nick Foles took his place. No, I'm talking about last year when things went haywire. He took it as a breach of confidence and a breach of trust when they decided to give Jalen Hurts a chance to be the starting quarterback, and he did not handle that well. Indianapolis is betting, and Frank Reich is betting, a new environment, a new situation. He's not going to react the same way that he did last year. But a guy like Sam Ehlinger, Jacob Eason, they're not trying to hear it. They're like, look, we're not here to make you better. We're here to make each other better. We're here to make this football team better. And if you can't handle that with that big contract that they're paying out, they're going to find out sooner than later if Carson Wentz is the Carson Wentz of old or the Carson Wentz that can handle this, be a better quarterback, and make the Colts the kind of team that many people believe they can be in the AFC underneath Kansas City, underneath Cleveland, and underneath the Tennessee Titans in that division.
Yeah, you have a quarterback room on that team where they're all vying for a spot. They're all hungry. They all want it. And nobody really feels like solidified in that position yet. And so they're all going to be fighting for that spot and take any opportunity that they can get. Some guys are motivated by other guys breathing down their back. Some guys aren't at all. It seems like Carson Wentz is not. So he needs to try to put himself in the best position to not feel that pressure coming from behind him. And unfortunately, so far, it's been out of his hands because there's nothing he can do about this injury other than, you know, try to heal from it.
And Quentin Nelson, to me, is the most important guy. And I hate to say this in a quarterback league, Amber, but Quentin Nelson is the best offensive lineman in football, in my opinion. We can make an argument for this guy, that guy. But Quentin Nelson, that's a bad mother that plays in the offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts. He gives them their attitude when he's out there. So as important as Carson Wentz has to be, and he better be for Indianapolis, that dude that blocks with him is setting the tone of the Indianapolis Colts. If you're Carson Wentz, all you got to do is snuggle up next to Quentin Nelson and say, dude, what do I got to do to make sure that I don't get affected by this? Carson Wentz can trust himself, but when you have to trust with Quentin Nelson, his word, his strength goes a long way with the Indianapolis Colts. If I'm Carson Wentz, not saying there's a silver lining to injuries, 5 to 12 week injuries involving feet when it comes to him and Quentin Nelson, but now you have a guy that can give you a pretty good idea, hey, dude, this is what we need from you. This is what we're expecting out of you. And if you can't do that, we're going to find out sooner than later. I'm not overstating this by stating that because based on what happened last year with Carson Wentz, that has to be brought about that if he can't handle competition, if he can't handle that aspect, then the coach is going to find out about that sooner than later, and then we'll see exactly what kind of team this team is going to be going forward when Carson Wentz gets back on the football field.
The problem is that Nelson doesn't have anybody behind him he's going to lose his job to. I mean, that dude's been all pro in his three NFL seasons. He is solidified in his NFL career, and Carson Wentz isn't. So the pressure feels a little different coming back off the same injury for those two.
She's Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman, in for Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Hit us on Twitter at AmberW790 and at Coleman ESPN. And our buddy from First Take, Stephen A. Smith, put it out there about Russell Westbrook now with the Lakers. And boy, Amber Wilson has a problem with what Mr. Smith had to say. That comes your way next. And did you hit the proximity wall after a big lunch? Well, let 5-hour energy shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up. And it's available in delicious flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach, mango, and more. Go to 5hourenergy.com. That is 5hourenergy.com today. And use promo code Golick to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com. Promo code Golick for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions. Code is not applicable on subscription orders.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman in on Janae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. 5 minutes away from betting on yourself and losing big. That comes your way in about 5 minutes. But Russell Westbrook had a chance to speak his piece about signing with the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, part of Breaking Moves by signing with the Lakers, his hometown Lakers basketball team. Check out what he had to say about asking if anything that he has to prove, no matter what he's done in his NBA career.
No, I don't. I've been blessed and thankful to be able to be in this league so long and lucky to be able to play and be healthy. when I got drafted in the NBA, that was me proving people wrong. When I was able to go to college and get a degree, that was me proving people wrong. Not a degree. I wish I got a degree. But go to college, go to UCLA from the inner city, that was me proving people wrong. Just making it out the hood was proving people wrong. I don't need to do that anymore. I've been able to bless the people around me, my family, been able to impact people all across the world with this platform that's been given to me, and I'm continue to do that. And obviously we want to win a championship, but our ultimate goal is to make sure we use what we have to impact others around you.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
All right, Amber, I'll throw this at you. Why does this question keep following Russell Westbrook around, that no matter where he goes, people say, well, he's got to prove something. He's got something to prove. Why does this question keep following this guy around with the kind of career that he's had?
I guess because he doesn't have a championship. But I hate this as much as I think you do, Freddie, that is what it takes to define a career that we're talking about, where he's won the MVPs and he's been an All-Star 9 times. And he might not be 2017 Russell Westbrook anymore. He still had a historic 2021. He's still setting the all-time record for triple doubles. He's still making history right now at this point in his career. And frankly, I don't think it matters if he wins a ring. He's already solidified that legacy. Him going to the Lakers certainly gives him a good opportunity to do it here, but nobody's going to say, oh, the Lakers won it because of Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, right. It's going to be LeBron. It's going to be AD. It'll be Russ after that. So I don't think that we're at a point in Russell Westbrook's career where, frankly, him winning one changes anything at all. I mean, it's not the same when we're talking about young guys with entire teams that they're putting on their back. A guy like Giannis from this last season, those are the conversations we have around players who need to prove something by winning one. Mm-hmm. But with Russell Westbrook, we're so far into this really incredible career. We're also not talking about him like he's LeBron or Michael. He's not part of that conversation, but he is a great player, a Hall of Fame player in the NBA. And he's that no matter if he wins a championship, no championships, three championships for the rest of his career, wherever this path takes him, he's already solidified that legacy. So I'm with you, even though, hey, we like to talk about rings. It gives us something to talk about here on sports radio.
Sure.
Outside of that sports radio debate, I think this means a whole lot of nothing, because I think everything he said is correct. He's already accomplished so much in this league.
It seems like so many people want to root against Russell Westbrook, but they're trying to find an answer to the question that is unanswerable. Why hasn't he won one? Because I don't think people take into account what kind of variables are a part of winning a championship. Plenty of times luck has to be on your side. Health has to be on your side. Whatever that is. And not to denigrate Stephen A. Smith, my boy from First Take, but I thought it was very strange when he said, now that Russell Westbrook is a part of the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Stephen A. Smith used the word prioritize with Russell Westbrook and winning a championship with that organization.
When you look at Russell Westbrook, this is what the bottom line is going to be. He's going to the Hall of Fame. We're going to celebrate him one day as one of the greatest players we've ever seen. You know, when you look at what his resume entails. But Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, James Harden, then Victor Oladipo, Paul George, then James Harden again, Bradley Beal, and now LeBron James and Anthony Davis were all teammates of yours at one point in time in your career. It's not a good thing if all of those teammates are people that you had and you don't have one single championship to show for it.
No.
Period. That has to be the priority. And again, like when he says he has nothing to prove, no, he doesn't. As an individual performer, no, he doesn't. As a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame credentials, no, he doesn't with any of those things. It's just with one thing and one thing only. At some point in time, when you got those kind of teammates, you got to have at least one chip to show for it.
She's Amber Wilson, Freddie Cohen, and Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN Plus. Here's the problem I have with Stephen A. Smith in terms of his line of thinking. It is not that simple to just name teammate after teammate after teammate and why you have not won one. I seem to remember Golden State Warriors team keeping Russell Westbrook from winning a championship. I seem to think about all those other teams that have gotten in the way. You can be one of the greatest players ever and still be devoid of championships. Ask Will Chamberlain, if he was still alive on planet Earth, how he feels about not winning a championship or as many championships, because that Boston Celtics team was getting in the way of Will Chamberlain winning an NBA championship. There's a guy named Patrick Ewing who slaved through and through and through at the New York Knicks. Great player that he was, Amber. Never won an NBA championship. You know why? There was a guy called Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and the Chicago Bulls that kept that from happening. I understand what Stephen A. Smith is trying to say about you better prioritize a championship. I believe Russell Westbrook has done that more than anybody wants to give him credit for. But they just named teammate after teammate after teammate. There are some serious dudes that Russell Westbrook had to try to go through that they were not able to accomplish that no matter who he played with or what team he was on, Amber, during his time not winning a championship in his great career in the NBA.
What does prioritizing a championship even mean? I mean, isn't every single player on that court prioritizing a championship? Like, what are we doing? They all want to win, and they all want to win championships, especially guys playing at this level, like Russell Westbrook. I like how Stephen A. named all those players, like, as if they were all collectively on the team together at one time, and Russell Westbrook just couldn't make it over the hump. We saw it this season, Freddie. What was standing between Giannis then, if we apply that same logic to a conversation about Giannis Antetokounmpo, what's standing between him and greatness then? Then is injuries to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. So if he hadn't won one this season because the Brooklyn Nets were just too good and too healthy, then Giannis isn't any good or there's some mark on his legacy. But because he won one, now he's amazing. And it's all based off of injuries to these other teams. Sometimes you need the luck to break a certain way too, along with the greatness. And it doesn't necessarily diminish the greatness. So that's a great conversation to have on sports radio. I welcome those conversations because it keeps me and you in business having these ridiculous debates, but that's all it is. It is a sports radio topic, and I'm glad that Russell Westbrook has enough of his own vision in life to recognize that that's all it is a sports radio debate, and he's still got his happiness with everything he's accomplished in his life, regardless of winning a ring or not.
You can knock Russell Westbrook all you want, and people have and will continue to do so, but his worst day is going to be better than a lot of your better days or your best days, no matter what you throw at him. He's going to be one way or the other, no matter what happens, whether he wins a championship or not with the Los Angeles Lakers. She's Amber Wilson. Hit her on Twitter, AmberW790. And Freddie Coleman, hit me on Twitter at Coleman ESPN, part of Chenan Golick Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. So the words make or break are not just at the feet of Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins in that organization. That's going to be a part of Three and Out if you keep it here on ESPN Radio.
Chenan Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golick Jr. and Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson in for Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're going to stay in the NFC North in about 15 minutes as we're going to check in on Aaron Rodgers and the latest involving the Green Bay Packers. And you know it's always the latest that comes your way in 15 minutes. And part of the training camp check-in, we stay in the NFC North, and we do it with this team.
The Minnesota Vikings.
So many things. So many COVID-19 vaccine conversations. Where do we start with Courtney Cronin, ESPN Minnesota Vikings reporter? She's a great follow on Twitter at Courtney R. Cronin. By the way, she's going to be on Spain and Fitz with Sarah Spain tonight, 7 to 9 Eastern time on ESPN Radio. She's here thanks to the Goodyear Hotline. Courtney, I'll start with this question. Kirk Cousins made it plain last week that even though he has not been vaccinated, even though he didn't say, we pretty much know that he's going to do everything he can involving plexiglass to make sure he does not affect everybody else. How does this stance by Kirk Cousins on the COVID vaccine impact the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, I mean, Freddie, the thing is, this could happen again, theoretically, at any time. Kirk Cousins is not vaccinated. He was not the one who contracted COVID-19. That was rookie quarterback Kellen Mond, who after 10 days and, you know, apparently was pretty sick, according to offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, he was finally activated off that list yesterday and today is, you know, going through his second practice as we speak. So I think with Cousins, it's one of these situations where if he's not going to get vaccinated now, he's probably not going to get vaccinated at any point throughout the next couple of weeks, months, and really this season. So I think you roll the dice with him. I mean, it's not an ideal situation to be in, considering if you lose your quarterback, you're pretty much in a really bad spot no matter what team you are. But specifically this game, because you really don't have a backup that you can rely on for one, two, even three games to you know that you'd be comfortable rolling with. So it's I mean, you heard Mike Zimmer's comments. You heard what Kirk Cousins said. There's a lot of things going on, I think, behind the scenes that would lead you to believe that you know, this could be something, if it happens again, that could very much fracture this team. And I think they're kind of skating on thin ice right now, just hoping that they don't have another situation when games are being played where their quarterback room is taken out.
Courtney, let's talk about Justin Jefferson for a second, because obviously he had an incredible rookie season. I know he tweaked his shoulder here in training camp, but how does he improve on that rookie season? Where can he go from here?
I mean, when we talked to him about this at the beginning of training camp, and he's talking about the confidence he has, that look at everything he did last year. It was in like the least ideal circumstances possible. No fans, COVID interruptions left and right. He doesn't even start the season, really as a starter, until week three. So he notches 1,400 receiving yards last year, which is a Super Bowl-era record for a rookie. He does that in a season where he probably shouldn't have, just given all the things that were stacked up against him. So the only way he sees things going is up. Obviously, he's going to face different coverages this year. And I think that as a receiver, you use that as a sign of respect, that if teams are rolling another defender safety help over the top in your direction, you know you're doing something right. But the big thing for Jefferson is going to be not getting frustrated when he sees added attention from defenses, because that typically is going to mean somebody else is getting open, whether that's an Adam Thielen, maybe an Irv Smith Jr., who we anticipate being a big part of this passing game. And even Dalvin Cook, too. I mean, if they've got another defender up in the box or even, you know, close to the line, and they're going to give more attention to Justin Jefferson, that could open up things in the run game. So I think this will be a good situation for Justin Jefferson. Will he get to 1,400 receiving yards again? I don't think it might be that high, just given what he did last year and how teams an entire season to figure him out. But even if he doesn't have those similar stats, doesn't mean that he's not going to be affecting the game in a really big way.
Doing a little three and now with Courtney Cronin, ESPN Minnesota Vikings reporter from ESPN NFL Nation, here on Tanae Golick Jr., Freddie Coleman, Amber Wilson on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus. 45 seconds left. Mike Zimmer, 7-9 last year. How much of this could be a make or break season for him as Vikings coach?
I think it's a big make or break season for him, Freddie. I mean, they've not had back-to-back losing seasons, and seasons where they've missed the playoffs under Zimmer. So they stack all their chips on the defense. They're hoping that that unit can be revamped in 2021 and hoping that the offense can be as good as it was last year, because they're relying on the defense to win these games and carry them back into the postseason to secure Zimmer's future for the long term.
Hit her on Twitter, Courtney R. Cronin. Catch her later on tonight on Spain and Fitz with Sarah Spain from 7 to 9 Eastern time on ESPN Radio. She is Courtney Cronin, ESPN Minnesota Vikings reporter, helping us with 3 and Out here on Chanae and Golick Jr. Always appreciate you, Courtney. You take care and be well, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
And one of the things that she mentioned with the whole Kirk Cousins deal, I thought, Amber, the silence from the teammates not wanting to get involved in this was really, really telling with the Minnesota Vikings, whether they believe one way or the other. They were like, look, if this is going to be a mess, we're not going to contribute to this mess no matter what Kirk Cousins is going to try to do or what he believes he has to do.
I think she's right, though. At this point, if he's not vaccinated, he ain't getting vaccinated, right? Like, at this point, yeah. It's not like you don't have access to it. It's not like you don't know the importance of it. It's not like you aren't aware of what it's going to mean for your NFL season if you choose not to get it. At this point, it feels like it is the decision for the entire season, and it's a tough one for the Vikings because they really don't have a plan B if something happens.
Yeah, plan A for Kirk Cousins, his money is guaranteed, but that doesn't mean there are any guarantees going forward. If this becomes more of a mess and a game could be missed and a game check could be missed involving Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings, and a team that could be affected by that if they play that team and a game has to be forfeited in the NFL. Stay tuned. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Freddie Coleman of Chanae and Golick Jr. Hit us on Twitter at Coleman ESPN and at Amber W790. No Aaron Rodgers in the preseason means exactly what for his success in Green Bay. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.